In business, we know that one thing can lead to another, and that's the story you'll hear about this family business, which started just a few years ago. Joining us in studio for the Business of Family Business is Don Eisenberg and Jess Phillips, both from Exercise Coach. How did they get to where they are today? The backstory is our interview that you'll hear today on this show that highlights family businesses from around the St. Louis region. If you're interested in having your family story told, reach out to Dan Bean from CMA. They present this show. Just go to cmaconsult.com and let them know you're interested. We'll start our interview with Don Eisenberg, who started an Exercise Coach franchise here in St. Louis, and how he got to where he is today. Was MMG your first company? Was that your first major job you got into?
I mean, as a major job, yes. I mean,
you had other jobs before that.
I had other
jobs,
you know, high school, et cetera, but that was my first major job.
All right. So, how did you get involved with MMG?
I guess we can go back a little bit. I met my wife at the age of 13.
Okay.
Because I wanted to work for MMG. I'm just kidding. No. So I met my wife at 13.
You had the long game.
Very long game. So we dated for quite a long time. And we ended up getting married at a very young age at 20 years old.
Okay.
I was still in college at UMSL. And I went to school in the morning at UMSL, and then in the afternoon went down to work for my father-in-law in his business, MMG Corporation.
So your father-in-law owned MMG here?
Yes.
In St. Louis?
In St. Louis.
Where was it located?
We were at 17th and Olive.
Okay.
When I joined it. Prior to that, it was on Washington Avenue with the entire rag trade, but when I joined, it was 17th and Olive Street.
Okay. So you married into and you started working for the father-in-law company. Was that something he invited you into, or did you have interest into that?
I always had an interest in business.
Yeah.
You know, from a young age, I was always, you know, very interested in business. I knew I wanted to go into business. That's what I majored in college. And that's, you know, when I got out of college, when I was in college, I was working there, and I knew that I would work for a business.
Right. Did you want to get into it from the business side? Like, what was your role there?
Well, when I started, I mean, I started at the very bottom. I mean, I worked in the warehouse, picking orders, shipping orders, swept the factory when I had to, and just did everything when I first started. And then through the years, got more responsibilities, did almost every function in the business as time went on.
How did he treat you as a father-in-law? Did he seem like he treated you like everyone else?
I had a special relationship with him.
Yeah?
Being the son-in-law.
Yeah.
He was very hard on me.
Really?
Very, very, very.
Okay.
Yeah.
That seems pretty common, though, right? I think Dan from CMA, that's pretty common, though, right?
Families tend to get one or two extremes. They either get special positive treatment or special difficult treatment. They tend to work on the family discount plan, meaning they get underpaid or they get overpaid. So it tends to be one extreme or the other, seldom not down the middle.
Right. Did it ever affect your out-of-work relationship in the family?
I have to say yes.
It did?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, in what ways? Can I ask?
And it affected me more than it affected him.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I felt a lot of pressure. I mean, he was a good businessman, but he was tough.
Okay.
Tough businessman. All around, he was tough. And like I said, very tough on me. So in the early on, and for a while, I actually, you know, I guess I held a little bit of grudge sometimes from things that might have happened at work, and then it spilled over at home. And again, that's from my perspective, not from his at all.
Did your wife have any other siblings involved in the business? Because that was their family business.
For a while, her sister worked in the business for a while. Her brother was in the business. And then at a later point in time, my brother-in-law, I call her, we're the outlaws, he joined the business for a while too. So
you had kind of had a band of brothers with someone that was an outsider coming in like that.
Well, did, but I was the one that started there first, and actually I was the one that started there and actually worked my way up from the bottom.
And you grew into the company?
Yes.
All the way to the top?
Yes.
So
yes.
Tell me about that. When did you get to a point of a leadership role in the company?
As I would say in my mid to upper 20s, I started taking on more and more responsibility in various aspects of the business. Mm-hmm. And then unfortunately, my father-in-law got cancer, and when I was about 30 years old. So at that point, I'd already taken on a lot of responsibility at that point, but got even more and more involved, obviously, from a leadership standpoint, which is when my other brother-in-law, you know, were the two outlaws, he actually came in the business at that time, too.
So you would have been in about 10 years at that time.
Yes.
Roughly 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years.
So was your father-in-law trying to groom you to take over the company? Was that what he was doing at that time?
He, again, in his mind, he was going to, you know, he was going to be around for a very long time. Mm. So he was not grooming me at that time at all to run the company, but he was giving more and more responsibility. He had no intention to leave the company, to, you know, to not be active. I mean, mm-hmm. he was a young man. He was, at that time, he was 52 years old.
Okay.
So he was very active, wanted to be very active in the company. But fortunately, I had been exposed to many aspects of the business. So that ended up being a good thing. And then I said my brother-in-law came in the business when my father-in-law got sick, right before I got sick. And then maybe 6 months or 9 months prior to him passing, he made us co-presidents.
Mm, interesting. Co-presidents.
Yes, co-presidents.
Okay.
Because he was always about being fair in his mind.
So that was a decision surprise you?
Based on knowing him, it didn't surprise me. Mm-hmm. You know, fortunately, my brother-in-law and I, we had a very good and still have a very good relationship.
Yeah.
So we made it work, and we took on different responsibilities in the company.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, co-presidents, you know, it's tough when you have two leadership people in the same position with something you normally think would only be one. How hard is it to work around something like that?
It's a difficult and challenging situation because of what you just said. There are two people. And the one thing that makes it successful is they're very clear about how they split the CEO role or the president role and who's going to do what part. And they got to be very clear, this is my part, this is your part. These are the parts we have to talk about together and reach consensus about. Mm-hmm. That helps. As Don said, if they also happen to get along well personally, that makes it a lot easier. But it is higher risk to try to put the president or CEO role to make it a co-relationship.
Jess, when you listen to this, this is you're learning about the relationship between your father and your grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
So you knew your grandfather as your grandfather. You weren't involved with MMG at all because, by the way, this interview is not about MMG. This is actually about Exercise Coach, which we're going to get to, but this is kind of the origin story leading up to it.
Absolutely.
When you hear this dynamic between your dad and your grandpa, did you hear these stories growing up?
Unfortunately, at that time when they were going through all this, I was too young to even know what was going on.
Okay.
He passed at a very, very young age, so I really didn't get to have that relationship with him. So I don't remember very much about my grandfather at all.
Okay. At the age of 30, your father-in-law, and then they start grooming you, and you become a co-president of the company eventually, and this is with your brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
How did that work out?
Again, because we had a great relationship, it was working fine.
Mm-hmm.
It was working fine. You know, I mean, between the two of us, we were fine. As far as the rest of the staff, the employees, the other executives, it was a little confusing, you mm-hmm. know, to them. You know, it's from a report to a relationship and who was really in charge. So it was a little bit confusing.
Mm.
But like I said, we made it work.
Taking over the company and then eventually selling it. We'll continue our story with Don Eisenberg from Exercise Coach, also his daughter, Jess Phillips, and how they got to where they are today on this episode of The Business of Family Business is presented by CMA. And as you heard Dan Bean from CMA talk about, family businesses, they don't always make that generational transition. In fact, 2/3 do not make it for various reasons, and you're about to hear more about that. But let me tell you about CMA Consulting and the Business of Family Business Ownership Program. Their sessions designed with critical topics that help support effective family business ownership. We've heard many stories about business owners who are wanting to make sure the next generation takes over, but they need to make sure they have the confidence that the people ready to take over, their family, or their siblings, whoever it may be, are prepared for the task. So that's why the Business of Family Business Ownership Program exists. It puts experts together with your family to connect very specific topics that will apply to your family business. Because, be honest, when was the last time the family member sat down and even discussed any of this? Use the Business of Family Business Ownership Program in the first quarter of 2018 to unify, develop, and align your family. Go to cmaconsult.com or you can call Dan Bean at 314-721-1860 to see if the program is right for your family business. It's the website all family businesses listening today should know about, cmaconsult.com. Every family business is different, but if you are in a family business, you'll probably recognize some of the things that Don Eisenberg and Jess Phillips are going through now of Exercise Coach. It's the business that led to their current family business. Their story on the business of family business, presented by CMA Consulting, continues here on KMOX. Don, how long were you and your brother-in-law co-presidents?
So it was a little over 2 years, 2.5 years. After my father-in-law had passed away, my brother-in-law decided that he wanted to move on, have his own business. He came from a business, his own business to our business, and then wanted to have his own again. So he ended up, you know, and he also knew that it was not a situation that had, you know, that could last. So he made the decision to leave the business.
How many employees were there at the time?
Oh my God. At that time, probably 150, I guess, somewhere around there, 160.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
What was your day-to-day like working in a business like that? Because you were selling, I don't know, when you say neckwear, I just think of ties, but
that's correct.
That.
Neckties.
Neckties.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. What would a day-to-day be like for something like that?
Back in those days?
Yeah.
Back then? I mean, originally, I mean, as far as running the business, I mean, there, you know, at that time when, you know, I took over, we had a factory downtown. Mm-hmm. So there was the factory operation. There was the design and merchandising aspect of the business, the inventory control part of the business, all the different facets of the business, like, and, you know, warehousing, shipping, et cetera.
Would you find yourself, like, because I have no idea what that industry is like at all. It's like a completely foreign industry to me. Would people, like, walk in and say, well, you need to pick the nice design for the next tie line that's coming out? Like, what kind of things would come out? Research and design and manufacturing and shipping and, like, and who did you distribute to? Things like that.
Yeah, so our design department, you know, I had a design, several people in the design department. They would do their research and determine what type of designs and colors were right for the season.
Mm-hmm.
And create a line. And back then, it was actually fun to go work with a retailer because you created a line and you presented your product. And based on your product and your prices and your service and all those things, you know, all those factors, they would make a determination to do business with you.
Mm-hmm.
So again, back at that time, product was very, very important.
Do you own any of these ties currently today?
I still have some. Sure.
Do you wear them?
When I have to. In my day-to-day life now, at work, it wouldn't be appropriate.
Because right. You're not wearing a tie today. You have the exercise coat shirt on, the polo shirt and everything.
Right.
When you talk about different designs and things, I mean, it's literally like people would come in, like you would see on the television shows, and they would like lay them in front of you, and you'd pick boom, 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 and this is the decisions you'd make?
We worked with suppliers, and we had our own artists, so artists would create designs. We'd give those designs actually on paper at the time. There were no computers at that time. We switched over to computers eventually.
Did you ever try to get licensing for like sports teams or anything like that?
We did some licensing.
Oh yeah,
we did not a lot. Most of our business was private label.
Okay. At this point, your brother-in-law no longer in the business. You're just president at this point. Did you have any ownership in the company?
What we had was when my father-in-law passed away, the business was left in trust.
Okay.
The trustees created a board of directors, closely held, you know, family and close friends, you know, some close friends of my father-in-law's, to be on the board. So they established a board. I was president, reporting to the board.
Okay. At that time, who owned the company? It was still in the trust.
It was owned in my father-in-law's trust.
Okay. Were you on the board of directors?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
When there were big important decisions made in the company, there were people voting on that sort of thing. You were still in the company for how long? Because, as we mentioned earlier, you're part of Exercise Coach now. You're no longer with MMG.
Right.
What led you to leave the company?
That's a story in itself.
That's a whole different story.
That's a story in itself.
You, as president and the board, you guys decided that it may be time to sell MMG. And at this point, what were some of the things going on to lead to that point?
So what happened over the years, not too long after I became president, Nation became very casual. Business policy, you know, business dress became very, very casual.
Mm-hmm.
Fighting this trend, we were in a dress-up business, and people were not dressing up as much. So it started out with casual Fridays, and then it became casual Fridays or Mondays, and then it became wear whatever you want to wear to work.
So there was research that went into this. Like, you realized their sales may be shifting because of things like casual Fridays.
Oh, there was a huge situation in the market where many of my competitors were going out of business because of these policies, and people were buying less ties.
Hmm.
You know, that was happening over the years. We were very fortunate that we had some very good customers that were growing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we were positioned well with customers. We did a very good job of customer service, you know, with our customers. And The factory ended up having to be shut down. We had to move the production overseas just to remain competitive. And then over the years, what happened was it just got increasingly more difficult, you know, to do business. Mm-hmm. Many of my competitors went out of business. We survived, as well as a few other of my competitors. Mm-hmm. We were among the smaller of the survivors, and it ended up where my biggest competitor was a $5 billion company.
Mm-hmm. So
that's a little tough to compete with.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, and you know, my closest one was probably, you know, five or six times my size. So yeah. I saw the writing on the wall. It was, you know, there was less and less product being sold. Bigger competitors that had much deeper pockets that could withstand both downturns and could also offer prices that were very difficult for us to match. So started looking for an out, worked with an M&A company to work on trying to sell the business.
Mm. So how old were you at that time?
That was 8 years ago, I guess, when we started the process.
Okay.
So I was 50.
It's a unique perspective. It was a family-owned business that sold to a larger company, but the previous owner was still involved until he wasn't. When Don left the company, his daughter Jess was still in the company. We'll get her perspective of what happened coming up next on The Business of Family Business, presented by CMA. And if you would like your family business highlighted, just like you heard today from Exercise Coach, go ahead and go to cmaconsult.com. This episode of The Business of Family Business, presented by CMA, is pretty fascinating because we get to hear a perspective not only from Don, who's the father, but also Jess, his daughter, who's now involved in his new business, Exercise Coach. But before it led to that, Don was the owner of MMG. You were working for the company at this time during this period?
That's correct. So I was currently working with MMG at the time. It was my first position. I was right out of college. I was looking for something to, you know, start something right off, interaction with employees, learn about business. So I was in more the merchandising side of things. And to be very honest with you, working in, you know, a larger business and having multiple departments to report to. We didn't have, in terms of a family business, yeah, it was a family business I was working for, but it was more like there were layers and layers and layers. So there was not a lot of interaction between me and my father. And so we kind of stayed in our own paths in that way. And I had separate bosses and things like that. So during that time for me, this was a very stressful and more of a demanding job and really wasn't fitting my lifestyle and my personality and who I am. And so it just, you never could turn your brain off. And I wanted to find an avenue to where I could turn my brain off and I could help others and I could actually visually see myself helping others.
Yeah. Let me ask this to Dan Bean from CMA. Typically speaking, for a family to sell a family business like this, in this case, the ownership was in a trust, and there was a decision because of the way the industry was changing. That is a little bit different than when, I guess, it's all owned locally by the family.
Just because it's in trust, it was still owned locally by the family, is right. My guess. Is that correct?
Well, what happened several years after my father-in-law passed away, the trustees and the board made a decision to transfer ownership to the children.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that did
interesting.
Happen. They still kept the control. There was a control issue. There was an ownership issue that was separate from a control issue.
Okay.
Okay. So from an ownership standpoint, it was transferred to the kids.
Sure. Okay.
So for a family to sell the business, mm-hmm. it's usually a very, very difficult decision to make because they've had the business. It's usually a legacy. Mm-hmm. The family bought this business. They didn't found the business. They bought the business. Mm-hmm. That may have made it a little easier to sell, but for most family businesses, for most families to sell the family business, it's a very difficult and gut-wrenching decision and process to go through.
Especially when you probably felt like your back was up against the wall, just the way with the industry, the way it was changing, mm-hmm. and trying to stay competitive and what you're up against, it felt like that might have been your only option at that point. It seems like trying to do a transition to the next generation wouldn't have made sense, knowing that you were to hand it over, that they would be in the same problems you were in.
I did not see a future in this business for the family, so it was the best choice.
When MMG was sold, mm-hmm. what did that mean for you?
Well, that meant for me that I was no longer the owner, an owner. and I would be, you know, we sold it to a larger company out of New York.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I knew what would happen. And I knew that they would consolidate and they would remove, you know, various functions out of St. Louis. And based on my discussions with them, we were going to keep a small crew here in St. Louis to do the design, manufacturing, and sales. So, you know, we were that type of a small organization. So that was the reality I had to accept.
Right.
And I decided that I would stay on, and I was president of that division.
Okay.
For the company.
So you did stay on.
I stayed on.
Okay.
I stayed on. And my motivation for staying on was really for the people that were staying there with me.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to make sure I was there for them, and that, you know, we just didn't sell and just abandon ship.
So at that time, there's about 150 employees before that. What was it like after the sale?
Before the sale, we had, you know, first of all, there was no factory.
Prior to the factory closing.
So after the factory closed, we had about 60 to 70 employees.
Okay.
And then after the sale, 20.
Okay, 20.
So, yeah, 20.
So you were still had an active role in MMG at that point, but you're not with MMG, you're with the exercise coach. So how did you end up getting to the exercise coach?
So, you know, working for yourself is very different than working for someone else. The management style of the company that bought our business was very different than my management style.
Mm-hmm.
And what they allowed me to do, get involved in, decision-making, et cetera, I just wasn't feeling right about how they approached that. So, you know, I stayed on for 2 years. At a certain point in time, I was very unhappy there. I had to follow through on their directives, which I did not agree with. And they got to the point where they wanted me to do something that I said, no, I don't want to do. And I decided to resign.
So when you resigned, Jess, you were still in the company.
I was.
What was that like?
I was still there. So at that point, now we're down to 20 people.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're still having that, you know, you can walk down the hallway and go talk to somebody about, you know, an issue or a design or whatever it may be. And then he sold the business, and the business was sold to a company in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't that avenue anymore. So there was a lot of lack of control and communication in terms of, you know, the different parts of the business. So from the design perspective all the way to the manufacturing perspective. And there was not a lot of control with us. We had to just kind of give the control over to the other company. So it was really, really hard for me. Like finding, you know, my grandfather established this business and then seeing what this business had come to at that point really, really was dear to the heart in terms of, I'm like, I can't do this anymore. So it was a very emotional thing for me.
So you stuck around for a little bit after your dad left the company. How long after?
You know, I'm not quite sure because I was counting down the days. So
maybe six months.
He said he was looking for other avenues, and I was just constantly on the phone going, "Have you found something yet? Is it happening? Did you find something that, you know, that it's going to be the next big thing for us?" So I think my zone was I was trying to stay really controlled in my avenue as far as getting everything, my day-to-day things done, and then going home. And that was it. Like, my brain wasn't all there anymore. I was ready for the next big thing.
Right. So for your sake, you were thinking about starting your own business.
I mean, my first thought was to actually buy an existing business.
Okay.
I thought I'd buy an existing business.
Mm-hmm.
So I networked like crazy.
Yeah.
A lot of mornings at Starbucks meeting people. And
you put on the tie and you went out.
Talking to people and really, you know, trying to see what was out there and make connections, and I just was not finding anything that looked interesting to me. Franchises were a possibility, and it was kind of in the back of my mind that a franchise could be a possibility, but it wasn't my first choice. But after seeing what was out there in the market and then not really finding anything that appealed to me, I started looking at franchises.
Okay.
And I actually got a franchise broker that I was working with, and the broker introduced me to a few franchises that I investigated. The exercise coach was one of them.
What is it like owning a franchise? We're going to get the experience of Don Eisenberg from Exercise Coach and his daughter, Jess Phillips, who will continue next on The Business of Family Business, presented by CMA. And in most ways, family businesses are like a lot of other businesses. You can hear the different struggles they go through, but it's a little bit more personal in a lot of ways, as you can imagine. And it's not always easy to sell a business or to start a new one, especially when family is involved. CMA Consulting, they lead a multidisciplinary team to help your family business, especially if you're looking to bring the next generation involved, to be effective owners. Unify, develop, align. They bring in the people and the talent experts from tax to accounting to legal to banking to risk management. They got you covered. CMA excels in helping increase the odds of a successful generational transition and also keeping the family in harmony. Contact CMA for a complimentary, no-obligation meeting to discuss your family business or an upcoming generational transition. If you have any benefits that you'd like to talk about, or even the benefits of their upcoming program, the Business of Family Business Ownership Program, go to cmaconsult.com or call 314-721-1860 to see if this program is right for your family business. The website all family businesses need to know, cmaconsult.com. Welcome back to the Business of Family Business, presented by CMA. It's stories of family businesses from across the St. Louis region. We're about to learn of how Exercise Coach started here and their owner, Dan Eisenberg, which I'm starting to learn there's such a thing as a franchise agent, which essentially means they're just trying to find the right franchise fit if there's an owner ready to step up to the plate.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. Yeah, based upon what I wanted out of a business
right
at that point in my life. And we went through a whole process to determine what that was. And based on that, the franchise broker brought me some businesses to look at and investigate. And after I went up to Chicago to meet with the CEO, and the first thing he did was put me on one of the exercises. I did it, and I said, this is unbelievable. Like, I couldn't believe how fantastic the workout was that I was doing. And because I had... I'd taken some time off,
mm-hmm.
so I had been exercising a lot, working out a lot.
Some time,
going to the gym a lot, and I'm thinking, well, I'm pretty strong, you know. So I've been working out for a while, and I got on the chest press actually, and I did it, and I just couldn't believe how different it was and how fantastic I felt doing that exercise and how it really activated my muscles more than I ever had doing a conventional type of chest press.
So this was in Chicago?
In Chicago.
With the Exercise Coach?
Yes.
So, Ryan, I do go to the Exercise Coach. I've done it for 3 years, and I want to tell you, they knew what they were doing. They put him on the hardest exercise they had.
I love the workout. I love the business model. It fit for me for where I was in my life
mm-hmm.
and, you know, what I was looking for.
Yeah, no. Jess, were you familiar with this company at all?
No. Not at all. Actually, the first, I guess, impression I got was he came home and showed me a PowerPoint of the slides of the Exercise Coach. And I said to him, wait, what are you looking into? We're going from ties to exercise. And so, but I was really impressed with the presentation. So we took the next step.
Kind of give us an idea of what you guys do. So what services or what do you sell?
It's personal training,
right?
One-on-one personal training. And our environment is a studio environment, so it's not a big gym.
Mm-hmm.
So people that come to us typically are very busy.
Okay.
You know, busy professionals, busy parents. They don't have time to work out or think they don't have time to work out, or they just don't like the gym scene.
Mm-hmm.
They might be afraid of getting hurt. We all, you know, so our clients are either the busy professionals. We also have many baby boomers that come in that they know they need to work out. They understand they should work out. They don't want to work out.
Uh-huh.
You know, they don't really love working out, but, you know, they love working out with us.
Yeah.
Because we offer a fantastic workout in a very short time.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our clients come twice a week.
What are your thoughts on Richard Simmons?
I guess he was good for his time.
Things have changed since then.
You're not sweating the oldies. Yeah, they changed a little bit.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, we're looking at what's interesting is from going from one company to another, it's almost like the family business started over again at that point. Does that count as a family business gap?
Definitely, it's a transition,
yeah.
And it does... It is pressing the reset button. So
mm-hmm.
it went from Don joining a family business where the family and the business were already intact to
right.
starting his own business with just himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jess joined the business at some point. So she is in the business, the exercise coach now mm-hmm. with Don. So it started this just with Don and his family.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely is a reset. He learned things from MMG. That, mm-hmm. that's obvious. Maybe some things to avoid,
mm-hmm.
Which let him go into this, I'm assuming, with more focus and commitment once he found what he was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
It probably made it easier to say yes to this.
Sure.
Because he'd had the prior experience.
Right. I'll open this to both you, Don and Jess. Knowing what you know about MMG, what were the things you've learned about running a business and then being part of a business that now you can apply to your current business, the exercise coach?
One thing I learned, and again, through it's all experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is to leave business at the office, leave business at work, mm-hmm. and have a business relationship and have a personal relationship, and don't mix the two.
Right,
that's for sure. Also, I mean, from an operational standpoint, when there's multiple family members in a business, it's really important that each member in the business knows what their responsibilities are.
Mm-hmm.
That there's really clear lines of division of responsibility, and so you don't step on each other's feet. And mm-hmm. it's not, well, I thought you were going to do that. I thought you were going to do that. And people that work under you know who to go to for right. something. From a leadership standpoint, somebody has to be the boss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's multiple family members. You have to say, okay, one person is going to be the CEO, president, and that, you know, that, and that should go to the person that that, you know, most fits that job.
Right.
So,
Jessica, you worked for MMG too. What were some of your lessons from that time?
I think my lessons from that time was I got in the business when I needed to get in the business. I learned what I needed to learn during that particular step, but I knew it wasn't my calling. And for everyone that's listening, I'm a little bit younger here, and you can choose how you want to live your life. And that's kind of what I took off from MMG is, do I want to be in a very stressful environment? Do I want to be where I can't turn off my brain at night and focus on my family and everything like that? Or do I want to find that career that is my true calling and be able to help others? And at that time when I was with MMG, I was extremely sick. I mean, I was dizzy. I was in and out of doctor's offices. I was in really bad form because of stress-related activity. And it really, really took a toll on my health. And that's when I knew I had to do something different. I guess my huge experience is I appreciate that opportunity because it led me to where I need to be today. And so I think it's really important for people to really think about their day-to-day activity and if they're really happy in the seat that they're in currently.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, I'll ask this question to you. When we look at trying to guide the next generation into a business, we've talked about this a lot on the show. You can't really force the next generation into something they don't feel right. And what you've heard from Jessica here, for example, this wasn't the right fit.
Yeah, I think the overall lesson is even if you're not in the right spot for you, you can still learn from it.
Yeah.
And you can take away what, okay, this isn't what I should do. So I know what not to look for. I know to look for something else. And sometimes, you know, the grass usually looks greener on the other side of the fence, but mm-hmm. sometimes it is. And it's important to know what the greener grass looks like. And so this probably, Jess's experience at MMG probably helped her figure that out with more clarity than if she had not had that experience.
Right.
Absolutely.
Don and Jess, I look forward to learning more about the exercise coach in our next episode. Thanks for joining us here today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
If you have a family business and you'd like to share your story on this program, go to cmaconsult.com. Just reach out to Dan Bean. Let him know you're interested. Have a great week.